When you make that decision, how do you factor in, you know, the risk of recurrence, 10 positive nodes versus node negative?
I think a HER2 positive tumor is a HER2 positive tumor. The number of nodes to me, and again, I may be in the minority here, is irrelevant. I think the data, when you look at it, show that node negative patients who are HER2 positive behave as if they're node positive, even if the tumor is less than a centimeter and a half, in terms of the outcome data, recurrence data. So when I see a HER2 positive tumor, even when it is a half a centimeter, the argument we make and the recommendation we give to the patient is, this is a HER2-driven tumor. We would recommend trastuzumab-based therapy or HER2-directed therapy now that lapatinib may come on the scene.
Rich?
We don't know, though, exactly what the appropriate duration is either. So we have the American data, which is a year. The European, you're waiting for the two-year data. And then there was a small trial at San Antonio last year of 9 weeks. So I was at 11 months, so I wasn't uncomfortable stopping her. But I'm not sure we have the answer as how long to treat these people.
Hal, there have been people who have pointed out what they thought is a little blip up in the HERA study after the Herceptin was stopped at a year. Do you think that's real?
I don't know.
The worry has been that somehow chronic suppression is necessary and that if you withdraw trastuzumab, then you might be putting the patient at greater jeopardy for recurrence. As a practical matter, the trials had to start somewhere. So most of the large cooperative trials gave 52 weeks or a year's duration of therapy. The HERA trial had this randomization for 1 year versus 2 years. I think a challenge in interpreting that literature when it finally comes out is that they did not give the chemotherapy concurrently with trastuzumab in the HERA trial. And I remain concerned that that may be a less optimal way to give the drug. And so while there may be some advantage for a second year, it's not clear that that advantage would be the same if you'd actually given the chemo and the trastuzumab concurrently. So that's something that'll have to be teased out once the more mature data become available. For the moment, outside of a clinical study, I give 1 year of therapy.
Dennis?
I think Hal's point's well taken that that data definitely needs to be teased out. There's one other big problem with the HERA trial. It's a wonderful trial, showing that if you wanted to do this post-therapy, you will have an advantage. You'll still have a clinical benefit. But what is factored out of the HERA trial that very few people pick up on or mention when it's being presented is the fact that in the HERA trial, randomization occurred after you finished your surgery, chemotherapy, and your radiation. That's when you got randomized. That could take as long as 10 months. If you look at the U.S. cooperative group trials, and if you look at the BCRG trial, there are a number of recurrences that are happening early in these HER2-positive patients. In the HERA trial, they never go on to the trial. So it's already a favorably selected group in the sense that the worst actors are factored out of HERA. Still, the hazard ratio is 0.54. It's a little worse than what we're seeing in the concurrent trials of around 0.47 to 0.49. Whether or not that's real and going across trials is a whole other question you could ask. I would be concerned about that part of it for predicting, but Hal's point that the data from the intergroup trial clearly showed that there is a statistically significant superiority when the drugs are given concurrently versus sequentially. And if that data hold up over time, and there's no reason to think they won't, then I think you're giving up something when you don't give the drugs concurrently.